in the Haggadah, on more than one occasion, we have a unique way of referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Now, we know every once in a while, the Makom, HaMakom, is used to refer to the Baruch Shalom. Chazal say, on one level, what it suggests to us is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, I guess the way you'd say it in English, it's where it's at. Everything is at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. It's not like there's a place where you could say, oh, Hashem is, I know we say Hashem is there, here, Hashem is there, Hashem is there, but because He is everywhere, Memela, everywhere is at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in a makom, rather He is makomo shel olam. The world, the universe, all creation is wherever HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, because that encompasses the totality of everything that exists. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own creation, and you can't limit Hashem to any one point in time or space. So that's where the name HaMakom comes from. Question is, why do we choose in these specific junctures in the Haggadah to refer to Kashmir as Makom? Where else do we have in the Haggadah? We say that Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. Originally, our forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Fa'ata Kervanu HaMakom LaAvodaso. And now Hashem has brought us close to His service, to His worship, to being from Yidden. So again, you have HaMakom. But on the other hand, right, there's other times in the Seder where we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Zaketz. Hashem calculated the amount of time they were supposed to be in Mitzrayim, and He let us free when that was over. Right? So how come it's HaMakom here, and then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu there? What's the significance of HaMakom in the Seder? I think it's especially important when you put it in the context of where it first appears. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Asher Nosan Torah L'Amo Yisrael. Right? Where is that coming? Right? That's part of Sipur Tzius Mitzrayim. Yes, we mentioned it in Dayenu. Coming to Har Sinai is part of the process and the after you leave Mitzrayim, we're heading somewhere, and we end up at Har Sinai, ultimately in Eretz Yisrael. But how does that link up so closely to the portion of the Seder that's just introducing what we're doing here, Sipur Tzius Mitzrayim? That's a question. Baruch HaMakom. So, to take a step back, if I ask you how many questions there are, everybody knows there's four questions, right? Truth is, there's five questions. You might even say there's six. What do I mean? So, for starters, number five was in the Haggadah, but fell off of the map, as it were, when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. On the night of the Seder, when people brought a Korban Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash, they would ask a fifth question. They would ask, why is it that across the, over the course of the year, we sit down to dinner, could be a Shabbos dinner, could be a weekday dinner. We eat all kinds of foods. We eat boiled foods. We eat roasted foods. We eat salted, steamed, smoked, whatever. When it comes to the Seder, we only eat roasted meat, right? That Korban Pesach was roasted. So just like you ask, how can we eat bitter herbs and regular vegetables? So they used to ask that question too. Okay, that question's not on the map. Vilna Gaon says, even in our Nusach of the Haggadah, there's also, this gets that back to a point you made yesterday, Alex, even in our Haggadah, Joey, there's a fifth question. And you guys know it. What's the fifth question? What are the ones we know? First is matzah, only matzah, not chametz and matzah, right? Second one is maror. Number three is
leaning.
And number four is dipping. Not in that order, okay? But those are the four questions. What's the fifth question, Bilsen? You know it. It's in the words. How does the song go? Yes! We don't think about that as a question in its own right. We think that's like the intro, right? That's just like setting up the other four questions. Explains the Vilna Gaon, that's a fifth question. You know why that's Akasha? Because if you look at all the other Yom Tovim, the mitzvos that are unique to those holidays are always relegated to the daytime. Shofar is only during the day. Lulav is always during the day. Right? Okay. Hallel during the daytime. And so on and so forth. Even Megillah, the primary mitzvah is during the daytime. The one at night is an extra time that we do it. There's nafkaminas. But the primary observance of the day, generally speaking, is during the day. And here, we pack all the mitzvahs. There is no mitzvah during the rest of Pesach, right? What do you do the rest of Pesach? You have a Seder, and then just Yantif, like Shavuos, right? You sing, you daven, you learn, you sleep, you eat, but there's no special mitzvahs the next day. It's always at the night. So manishan ha'layla hazeh mikol ha'leilos, why is it that this night took on this significance where all the mitzvahs are at night? That's a fifth question. And it really exists independently. So there is an answer, very interesting answer to this. You'll find this in the Kuntres of Rav Karelenstein. We've quoted from the Kuntres before. And he explains, based on a pasuk, the Zohar tells us that the night of the Seder is unique. The night of the Seder is referred to as Laila Kiyom Yoyer. It's a night that shines and illuminates as if it's the daytime. Even though on the clock it's dark outside and it's late at night, it has all the characteristics of day. Rabbosa, when the Torah multiple times describes the mitzvah, Noam, of how you communicate Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim to your children, what does it say? What's the next word? Bayomahu! Vigarta levincha bayomahu leimor. Right? You will tell your children on this day. What do you mean the day? When is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Aron Genuch, when is the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's at night. But the Torah refers to that night as the day. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. The Zohar says that on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right, what coincided with the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Obviously, they brought the Korban Pesach, and they put the blood on their doorpost, and Hashem spent the whole night jumping over the houses of the Jewish people. What does it mean he jumped over? What didn't he do to the Jews? He didn't kill their firstborn. Everyone else, all the Egyptians, the firstborn were killed. Zok the Zohar, the night of Makkos Bechoros, at midnight, usually pitch black, it was as bright as day. As bright as day. Mamash, like we're saying, Laila Kiyom Yoyer, going back to the original Pesach, the nighttime was illuminated just like the daytime. Just like the daytime. One of my Talmidim, Lev Torah guy, a couple years ago, it was in the Shir, we were talking about this idea, and he said, that's a beautiful remez, perhaps, to the fact that we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says himself, in addition to bringing judgment and bringing punishments on Paro and all the Mitzrayim, what else? Who else were the makos directed towards?
Animals.
Animals, okay, the animals were affected. But specifically, not just to negate the power of the Egyptians, but their gods as well. Right? We shechted the Korban Pesach, that was one of their gods. Right? The Nile River was always getting hit because they worshipped the Nile also. What else? In Shemayim, what was their deity? The sun god, Ra, the sun god, right? So isn't it ironic that in the middle of the night, at midnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, schleps him outside, schleps the sun out, and says, like, in your face, I'm killing all your firstborns, right? That's like the ultimate shtach. What is the mitzvah? What is the first mitzvah that we get while we're still in Mitzrayim? First mitzvah we get when we're still in Mitzrayim. Come on, Yoni. Rosh Chodesh. What is the significance of that? Our calendar does not revolve around the sun. It revolves around the moon. Again, in your face to the Egyptian god, so to speak. Okay? Exactly. Okay, so Laila Kiyom Yoyer, we're exploiting that sun, so to speak. We're taking it, capitalizing on it, and redefining our night. And it is a night that is Laila Kiyom Yoyer. So Manishtana HaLaila HaZemikol HaLeilos, you know what's different? Because this night is taka not like every other night. This night is broad daylight. This is the night that is so bright that initiates the bright future of Klal Yisrael that we treat it like a day, and all the mitzvos of Pesach are placed there and are performed as part of the Seder at night. Okay, that's step one. Let's get back to our question and develop it a little bit further. Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. What's the significance of Bosai? Where else do we find that usage dafka of Hamakom? Hamakom and Aslam, right? Isn't it interesting that the place where we find the label, the address of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Makom, is when we're comforting people who are mourning. People are very sad. People are going through difficult times. Where else? Where does Hamakom come up? What? Oh, okay, good. We'll come back to that. Very good. Very good. I'm talking about, let's say in Tzvila, when we're addressing Hashem ourselves. But that's a great example. That is also Tzvila. We'll get to that in a second. What else do we say? Hamakom. I'll go back to it. Hamakom yirachem aleihem, right? The yotzeim mitzara l'rvacha me'afelu liora. What's that talking about? That's talking about Jews who are in bad situations, who are in danger, who are in captivity, right? Achinu kol beis Yisrael anasunu mitzara b'shivya on the main bayam and main bayabasha. Those people hamakom yirachem aleihem. Not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hamakom yirachem aleihem. What's the tzaddik shav? What's the common denominator? When someone is in trouble, when someone is in danger, hamakom. Comes along Adam Siegel, beautiful, makes a reference to a point where Soloveitchik made. Soloveitchik said, Abos that we know, three avos, Shachris, Minchan, Ma'ariv. Yaakov Avinu was Masakin, Ma'ariv. How do we derive that? Gemara Brachos says, he comes to what he refers to as Beit El, right? He comes to the Makom HaMikdash, and he goes to sleep, and he has this famous dream. How does it describe that? Vayifga ba-makom va-yalan shom. He arrived at the place. Explain Chazal, Gemara Brachos, ein pegia el aloshon tvila. Vayifga ba-makom, what does it mean? That Yaakov Avinu arrived at the place? Yes, physically he got to the makom where he went to sleep. But that is where we derive that Yaakov Avinu instituted Marav. Vayifga ba-makom, pegia, to approach and to encounter, that's what pegia means to encounter God. He davened Marv at that place. Vayifka ba'makom, he encountered a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ha'makom, and he established Marv. What was important about that place? It was nighttime. It was a time of distress. Yaakov Avinu, again, he's running away. He's escaping from a threat of death. His own brother was trying to kill him. Vayifka ba'makom, Yaakov Avinu is synonymous with Golos. Yaakov Avinu his children go to Golos. Yosef is exiled. He goes out to Golos also. He's the first one. He dies in Chutz La'aretz. Yaakov Avinu is Golos. Hamakom. That's how we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu when we're feeling far away, when we're feeling in danger, when we don't feel like Kadosh Baruch Hu is right behind us, holding our hand, protecting us. The Chiddush Arim says you find this beautiful in the Akedah. What do you think was perhaps the most difficult moment in Avraham Avinu's life? And maybe, again, it's hard to say this because we don't want to like put our own failings and shortcomings in Avraham Avinu, but you can imagine the 10th test. Akedas Yitzchak was going to be the most challenging, right? That's why it was the 10th test, right? He's traveling, he doesn't know where he's going. He just knows this is it. All the promises that Kadosh Baruch Hu made to me about the future, my children, my lineage, I finally have a son, and it's done. He arrives where he's supposed to bring Yitzchak as a korban, the very same place where Yaakov was going. Vayifka b'makom. What does it say? Beautiful. Vayar es hamakom erachok. Vayar es hamakom erachok. He saw from a distance the place where he was supposed to stop, where he was supposed to perform the akedah. Explains the Chiddush Arim. No, that's a double entendre. He saw Hashem from a distance. That's how he was feeling. He didn't know how to process this. He knew he had to do it. He knew that was his job. He didn't ask any questions. But at the same time, if you'd ask him, like, how could you explain this? What does he want from you right now? Hamakom. He's far. Vayar samakom mirachok. Similar to Rahman al-San, a person loses a relative. And they're trying to process it. And why are we suffering? Why are we going through this? Hamakom yirachem aleihem. And hamakom yinachem eschem. That's how we refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, hamakom. The Gemara also says that that's how you're mevaker cholim. Someone who's sick, you also use the term hamakom. Explain the Rav, that's essentially what we find also in Kedusha. There are two psukim that describe a vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in Kedusha. One is Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kivodo. Hashem's presence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, fills the universe. What's the next thing we say? Baruch Kvod Hashem, Mimkomo. Right? That doesn't sound like describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu filling the entire universe. That sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somewhere far away. Baruch Kvod Hashem, Mimkomo, from wherever he is, that's how I'm communicating to him. His kavod is Mimkomo, it's not filling the whole universe after them. Okay? So the Rav said, one pasuk is a description of Yeshaya, one is a description of Yechezkel. What's the difference between the two? Yeshaya was around when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Yechezkel was the Navi in Bavel, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So what's the contrast? The contrast is when Hashem is with us and His glory is manifest in the Beis HaMikdash, so Menela, Melocho as Kvoda, we feel it. When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and we can't see God, we can't see His miracles anymore, then the way we're describing is, the way we describe Him is, Baruch Kvod Hashem, Mimekomo. From wherever He happens to be, even though I can't point my finger to it, I feel that distance. I know He's there, but He's at a distance. So that's Hamakom. L'chora, and the Rav says this, that's the usage of Hamakom at the Seder also. When we begin the story of Sipur Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Baruch Hamakom Baruch Hu. Hashem, You started Your relationship with us at a real distance. Klal Yisrael, they were enslaved for hundreds of years. And they didn't know where to go. They didn't even think that there was a way out. It was only after a long time, by Yizaku, they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they became so ensconced in the slavery, they were disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our relationship with Hashem, the Shibud Mitzrayim, was Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. And the Gemara tells us that in order to communicate the story, you need to be maschil b'gnus u'mesayim b'shvach. You have to start with the low point, the down, the lowest side of our history, lowest part of our history, when we were enslaved, and then move towards the better times, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. So the name that communicates that we were at our lowest point is Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. We are told by Chazal that Klal Yisrael reached the 49th level of Tumah. They were so low that it was in some ways hard to differentiate the Jews from the Egyptians. We know there are certain identifying factors, their names are close, but otherwise, the angels at Yam Suf referred to them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They said, God, why are you saving these people, drowning these people? They're all idol worshippers. What's the difference? It was really hard sometimes to tell the difference. We are at the 49th level of Tumah. Akedah Kach, what do we say in the Haggadah? Hashem says, I'm coming myself. I'm coming through Mitzrayim to kill the firstborn. What is that meant to communicate? Ani velo malach. Ani velo shaliach. Hashem says, I'm doing it on my own. Ask the Mepharshim, what would be the big deal if Hashem sent the malach? After Israel. What would be the big deal if Hashem sent the malach? So Rav Nevinsel brings one explanation, because if Hashem would have sent anyone else, if a malach would have gone to Mitzrayim, at the low point of Tumah that existed there, the Malach would not have come out alive. He would not have been the same Malach that he was when he went down, which is like just a mind-blowing comment. What does that mean? Kula Ruchnius. It was such Tumah. It was palpable. It could even corrode and thwart the Kedusha of a Malach. Hashem had to do it Himself. That's why we say, right, Hashem saved us. We didn't even have a chance for our dough to rise. On a Gashmistik level, yes. On a Ruchnistik level, also. It meant that we were at that turning point where moments made the difference. We were about to slip into oblivion, to fall so low to the 50th level, after which there's no return. But Hashem didn't let that happen. Hashem never lets that happen. But we made that transition all the way to the 49th level of Kedusha that we count to, and that Klal Yisrael counted to, in the process leaving Mitzrayim up to Har Sinai, up to Shavuos, in Sefiras HaOmer. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Asher Nasan Lanu, Baruch Asher Nasan Torah Lam Yisrael, right? Baruch Hu. That Hashem allowed that transition from being as distant as we can be, 49 levels down to 49 levels up at Matan Torah. That's the contrast. That's how we introduce the Seder. That defines the way we went from all the way down here to all the way up there, starting at that Makom Achshav Kervonu HaMakom Lavodaso. Hashem took us back no matter what. Why do you have to take us back from the no matter what, from the lowest point? So a number of years ago, we had a guest speaker here in Yeshiva, in BMP. Can't talk to BMP. Howard Jonas. You guys know Howard Jonas? Yeah. Howard Jonas is the CEO of IDT. Big Baal Chesed, big Baal Tzedakah, but a very, very wealthy man. And he started very, very humble means. And he came to talk about his career and about his Yiddishkeit in the context of his success, and he was talking a little bit about some of his business strategies as well, and he said one of the biggest moves, most successful moves that he made, was the hiring of Michael Coburn. Michael Coburn was a former CEO of AOL, and he was fired when, I mean, AOL, you know, was at the top of, you know, in the original days of internet service providers, and then they failed. And, you know, they obviously haven't made it back to the upper echelons of the technology companies that, you know, that people are usually familiar with these days. So he said he hired Michael Coburn and did wonders for IDT, which is a communications company. He did wonders for IDT. You know why? Because he hired him the day after he got fired from America Online. When you are at the absolute bottom, when you're kicked out on the street, when a major corporation lets you go, said, no one wants to hire you, you just failed, right? So where's your greatest loyalty going to be? The people who are going to work hardest are the people who feel you saved them. That when no one else is interested, right? You think about, like, you know, if a player gets a new contract, and there's eight teams that are bidding to try to pick him up. So okay, so he goes to one team because they offered him another $5 million a year, right? Be'etzem, when he's holding the jersey for, you know, the press conference, what's he thinking? He's thinking like, oh yeah, the Mets. I'm doing you guys a favor, by the way. You know, like, I could have gone to this team, but I went to you, right? So you guys owe me something, right? I could have gone anywhere. When someone feels they can go anywhere, then they're the boss. But if someone feels like you gave me that chance when no one else would, when I was at the bottom, I had no hope, then my greatest loyalties are going to be to the person who picked me out of the gutter. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to let us fall so low. The Baruch HaMakom, there's a Baruch. I'm giving a bracha, even at that point of distance, because when I appreciate how low I was, and that nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there is no point at which I won't redeem you. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to come back, and I'll take you back. There's no point of no return. That had to be the initiation of Kala Yisrael as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people, the message that there is no point that I will just say, I'm leaving you to languish, to float off into the sunset, to drown, to fall into oblivion. You can go from here all the way to the top. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Asher Nasan Lana Torah. Baruch Asher Nasan Torah Lama Yisrael B'Kedushaso. Even when you're in the Gemara and you're having a hard time, you're banging your head against the desk, and you have no idea what it's talking about. You keep pushing and pushing. Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Asher Nasan Torah Lama Yisrael. Because Baruch says, if you work hard enough, there is no point at which I'm not interested in your efforts anymore. Chas v'shalom. That was a lesson of Mitzrayim. And that l'chor is also a lesson overall of the way the Gemara mandates Sipurti Yis Mitzrayim has to be Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zarah, Maschil B'Gnus, starting with the most degrading and derogatory descriptions of Klal Yisrael, all the way, Mesayim B'Shvach, to the best. Just like Laila Kiyom Yoyer. Why is this night different than every other night? Because this was the night that we turned into broad daylight. This was the night that represents that wherever Klal Yisrael is, there's a Geula that's on the horizon if we work towards it. And I would just to be Messiah, a suggestion, if you look at the Rambam says in a couple places, there's a mitzvah to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he says, and it's just like the mitzvah of Kiddush, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. What's the connection between on the one hand, Kiddush and Sipurti Yis Mitzrayim, right? Shabbos and Pesach, they're not really related. So my Rebbe, Rav Ilson, said if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos, in Sefer Mitzvos on Kiddush, he describes a little more about what the mitzvah of Kiddush is. Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, what's the crux of Kiddush? To remind me, Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, by the way, after Friday comes Saturday, I don't need a reminder for that. I look on my calendar. It says it on my watch, right? What is the remembrance of Shabbos? What's the big Masker Shabbos doing? The Rambam says the goal is to highlight and delineate what differentiates Shabbos from the rest of the week. What makes Shabbos special from every other day of our lives. That's the goal. Some say that's a pshat in Zemiros. Why do we have this special inyan, a minog of singing Zemiros at the table on Shabbos? If you look in the bench or you look at the Zemiros, most of the Zemiros are talking about how great Shabbos is and how special it is. Because Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. By remembering Shabbos, not because I'm going to forget it, remembering Shabbos meaning highlighting what makes it unique. L'chora, that's what Sipurti Yis Mitzrayim is as well. Maybe that's what the Rambam is trying to do in comparing Kiddush to the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. By highlighting that our existence post the Geula, Mitzrayim was so vastly different than the low point we were at when we were in Mitzrayim. Just like Shabbos is so vastly different than the rest of the week, the Kedusha is pervasive and we're different people on Shabbos. We had such a transition before Yetzias Mitzrayim to after Yetzias Mitzrayim that has to be highlighted at the night of the Seder. And that's the goal. And that reminds us that wherever we are, there's always a process by which we can climb the ladder back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from HaMakom up to Shemayim, up to Har Sinai, up to Kabbalah Satorah. And that's Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu that we're trying to communicate at the Seder. Okay, yeah, sorry I didn't take the